This is a Soulfire production.
Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful souls, and welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and I'm so excited about this episode because it's my first interview. I am going to primarily bring you solo shows, and I'm primarily going to bring you women as my guests onto this podcast, since we are really a show for that community. But I also welcome all identities and voices to this show. And so I love that my very first guest is actually not a woman, but a dude, my friend, my spiritual hustler homie, James McCray. Now, you might know him on Instagram as Words Are Vibrations. I just got the chills saying that because his frequency and his message and his platform is so high vibe. It's how I met him. It's how I became friends with him all through social. He is the real deal. He is brilliant at creating inspirational content that moves the masses by way of memes. And he's grown, I don't know, something crazy like 400, 500,000 followers in a very short amount of time. And he is the author of two books, but his most recent book, The Art of You, The Essential Guidebook for Reclaiming Your Creativity, which just launched last month, is here to really unlock the secrets of the creative process. And I really believe that we are all artists, whether we are a writer or a painter or a business person or a marketer or a technologist. This is a book that's really here to connect our gifts, whatever they might be, to a higher purpose, so that we can transform both ourselves on a personal level and the world. And yo, that is what I'm here for. That is what the spiritual hustler mission is all about. And so his presence as my very first guest, asking him a whole new set of questions from my previous show, was just so much fun. And he was the perfect friend to do it with. And he just really brings so much wisdom through, yes, what he's written about in this amazing book, but his own personal story. And we also talk so much about Instagram and how he created this massive community there and what really sort of the strategic steps he took to make sure that that translated to a business and really opened him up for a book deal. And I just love how honest and vulnerable he is, as well as him walking us through his own spiritual experiences, which, you know, that's what we're here to really break down. How to build a platform, how to build a business, how to hustle from a new vibration, from a spiritual perspective, and his spiritual journey and how he is identified as a spiritual human being and his story behind that really, really is my favorite part of this conversation. And if you haven't yet heard of James McCray or are following Words Are Vibrations, I'm going to link it in the show notes. I highly recommend you go find him, but most of all, I highly recommend you buy his book, The Art of You. It's filled with so many incredible chapters, stories, illustrations, memes, creative exercises. It's divided into two parts, yin and yang. We're going to talk about that in the interview. He is just such an amazing person. He came from the agency world. We have that in common. He worked with major brands like Microsoft and NBC and Organic Valley, and he's been featured in publications like Forbes and Adweek and Entrepreneur, and his poetry has been featured in so many literary journals such as the American Journal of Poetry and Thought Catalog, and he's just this amazing human who has really just lived his own authenticity out loud. And I share all of this so that you can go support him, because his book is such an expression of his soul, and this world needs that level of art to come alive, to the art within themselves, because there is forever and always, no matter what brand you run or business you launch, you are an artist. I really believe in that. And there is nothing more profound than the art of you. So please enjoy my very first interview on the Spiritual Hustler podcast with the most amazing, perfect guest, my dear friend, my inspiration, one of the most authentic spiritual hustlers out there, the amazing James McRae. Well, hello, James McRae, one of my absolute favorite human beings that I've never met before, but I feel like we've met and Instagram is real. Thank you for being on the Spiritual Hustler Show. Welcome.
Jessica, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you, and thanks for inviting me onto your show.
It was a full heart yes. Anything you ever ask me to do, James, I'm constantly sharing your memes, preaching the good word of all the magic that you're creating in the world. And I know we're going to talk a lot about creativity and creating at large today. Mm-hmm. But before we do, I have my first question for you, which is, what are you spiritually hustling for right now?
Yeah, I love the question. And I love the framing of the question, because I come from a corporate background, and as do you, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do as well.
Yep.
And hustling means one thing, and you're hustling for, it's almost like when a carrot is dangled in front of you and you're hustling for this idea of success or this external validation or this approval that's been, that society is kind of trying to get you to climb this ladder for, and that can be ultimately so unfulfilling. And what I've seen is that so many people have dropped out of that mentality. And for a time of giving themselves, because I think before you can do your spiritual hustle, it's so important to extract yourself and reclaim your own energy. So I think that's the first step of spiritually hustling, is allowing yourself to take a break, you know, cleanse the toxic ideas of hustling from your system.
Yeah.
So you can re-engage with the world and hustle from a place of purpose.
Amen.
So for me, it's spiritually hustling just means to make the world a better place by bringing my own purpose into the world with whatever that looks like. And for me, that's writing and creativity. And I think that the world is desperately in need of leadership in all of these areas. So I just think that it's so important to find where you're called to serve and be willing to put yourself out there, and to be a way shower for those who are coming along next. So for me, that's writing, and that's creativity, that's making memes, but it's going to look different for everyone. But we're all working together to bring our unique skill sets and talents to the table to help make the world a better place.
Say it louder for the people in the back. That was beautiful. Thank you for being that first question, that first answer. I love that it resonated, and what you just shared resonated with me in such a deep way. And you bring up the concept of way shower, right? Which I write about in my new book, what it means to be a way shower. And I think you, with your platform, Words Are Vibrations, are really doing this in a really tangible way that is moving the masses. And I look at your shit and I'm like, God, he's so good. How did he come up with that? He's so fucking creative, like genius. And it's all over Instagram. People share your stuff, because it's, you know, these memes, but they hit. And honestly, like I think I'm a creative person, but I look at someone like you and I'm like, that's a genius that I don't have. And I feel like you've written this book, The Art of You, to really kind of dissolve those self-limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
to show people everyone is creative. And yeah. I guess my first question is, if you're not a traditional artist or creative, you know, how can we reframe our points of view on ourselves to step into our creativity?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you my own story and
Please
how this
do.
Kind of happened for me. because I did come from a more corporate background. And even my first book, which was like a Hay House book, it was called Shit Your Ego Says. It was a little bit more of a traditional self-help book. And at that time, I was still working in corporate America in the brand strategy world. So I was kind of playing it safe with my writing in hindsight. I was kind of trying to do things that would be socially acceptable and that, you know, just kind of following what others had done and balancing this corporate world with this writing world and not really letting myself be fully expressed as an artist. And for me, my big breakthrough came during the early days of the pandemic when it just seemed like hustling in your career didn't really mean as much anymore because the world was facing these new challenges and we were all locked up in our homes from quarantine, et cetera. And I found myself looking deeper within myself because I felt like the world needed, you know, a deeper message. And for me, that looked like reclaiming the identity of an artist, because growing up, that was what I really was. It was like an artist. I was, you know, whether it was just drawing or painting or writing poetry, that's all I wanted to do in my teens and 20s.
Yeah.
And then like so many other people, I got caught up in this professional world and was suddenly, you know, had less and less time for my own creative practices. So this book came about by me just totally reclaiming the identity of an artist and just letting that be what led me and what drove me was an unfiltered creative expression that didn't care what was acceptable and didn't care what had worked for other people, but I was going to go fully forward, trusting my own creative vision.
Yeah.
And at the time that looked like creating memes and, you know, just using a new language that I feel was a little more edgy than some of the, you know, authors that were, you know, writing at that time.
Yeah.
So I just think everyone is creative. I think that creativity is truly our natural state. Mm. I think that creativity is a life force that moves through us and we can apply that creative life force to anything we do. You know, whether you're a coach or an author or a content creator, you know, you can even apply creativity towards your relationships or your business. You know, for me, creativity is about reclaiming the sovereignty of your own consciousness, because the opposite of creativity is reactivity. So we're either going to be reacting to things that happen to us, or we can respond to the things that happen to us with our own creative energy. Yeah. And ingenuity and creative thinking to, again, like to go back to your first question, to bring our own vision and purpose into the world. So for me, creativity is not about being a painter or being a poet. It's about bringing any vision that's in your imagination to life. And for the art of you, it's for anyone who wants to manifest their vision in the world. And that's going to look different for everyone.
That's amazing. That just hit so hard. You know, I went to Costa Rica last year to write my book and I checked in at customs and they're like, what do you do for a living? And I literally just didn't even think about it. I spit it out. I was like, I'm a writer. And I started crying into the customs person because I was like, my higher self didn't identify as an entrepreneur, a marketing person. I was like, because my art is writing, you know, obviously different form than someone like you and we're all different. But to me, getting into the flow state of writing is really my highest expression. If I could write books full time for the rest of my life, I would. This idea of what you say, this reclaiming your sovereignty over your own conscious creation.
Yeah.
That hit. And we live in such a busy, go, 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 digitally connected notifications, ding, ding, ding world. We got to drop off our kids. We got to be at work on time. We've got to be in the Zoom calls. Like we have social plans. I want to know your process. Like, to get into that sovereignty, do you have a process? Like I look at the things you create and they're clearly from a higher source and you must channel them somehow. So the people who are listening, to your point, they are a lot of corporate, you know, entrepreneurial business people who listen to me, who are hearing what you're saying and saying, I want that to themselves. How do you get yourself into that creative state? How do you make time for it?
Well, so making time for it, I feel is, for me, it's something that's non-negotiable. Because again, this is the purpose that I'm bringing into the world. This is my own spiritual hustle. So for me personally, my creative time is non-negotiable. I'm most creative in the morning because I feel like, and when I say most creative, what I mean is I have the most open channel, because I think that's the first stage of creativity, is cultivating your own intuition. I think that if I had to distill my book down into two main points, the first is going to be cultivating your intuition. And then the second is about authentic expression. These are the yin and the yang of creativity, right?
Yeah.
So the yin of creativity is, yin is the feminine side of the universe. It's about being receptive and listening and being inspired. The yang is more action-oriented, doing, making, crafting. And I think the problem with a lot of our, especially the corporate culture today, it's very yang-centric. It's very productivity.
Yes.
So for example, when I worked in advertising as a brand strategist, it was always work, 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 produce, 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 go, 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 make, make, make. And you can do that, but it's like, for me, creativity, it's like, you need to be pulling from a well. So you're kind of, after a while, you're going to be running on fumes when you're just going for this, you know, hyper productive, you know, workflow.
Yeah.
So for me now, the biggest, you know, half of the creative process, which is the yin, which is about being, it's about receiving, and it's about cultivating your intuition. This is half of the creative process. And this happens before you ever, you know, put pen to a page.
Yeah.
So I do my best, you know, and things like meditation have helped me cultivate this, but I really, really, really just do my best to not think about it, but to make myself a vessel for inspiration and for intuition. One line from the book is, a mind that's too full of information has no space for inspiration.
True that.
So especially during my creative process, I try to be just as mindful as possible. And I just started to stay with meditation. And I often have an open notebook. And I'm just sitting there and I'm waiting to see what's trying to come through me. And when you sit with that long enough, and for me, the creative process starts with my energy and my emotions and what I'm feeling. Okay. I think that feeling and emotions are upstream of thinking and ideas and thoughts, meaning when we're in tune with our own emotions and our energy, and we sit with them, the body has access to more subtle information,
yes,
than the logical mind, yes, can comprehend. So I sit with a feeling and emotion, and I just let it sit with me until eventually maybe like an insight will bubble up. Then I can explore that and turn it into an idea.
Yeah.
So this is what it means to cultivate intuition. I'm just listening. I'm trying to be, because I often think of like, where do ideas come from? I don't think ideas come from the conscious mind. I think my best ideas just pop into my head subconsciously. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that creativity is a spiritual process, spiritual practice. And I believe that our intuition is a portal to literally other dimensions. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And when we sit with that long enough and we listen, I call it listening to the space between my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of what meditation is for me. It's listening to the empty space between your thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this vast unknown. But when you can, the mind likes to grab onto what's known, and the ego likes to things to be certain. But in the early stages of creativity, it is about sitting with that unknown and not trying to force an idea, but letting an idea come to you. So that's what I try to do. And I think that when we're left to our own devices like that, I think that creativity comes naturally to us.
Absolutely. I love that. I love what you said about feelings and emotions. I mean, not all of it, but I'm deep on the Palladians right now. They're my guides. And they are, you know, all about our power as human beings, our secret sauce, and what makes us connected and multidimensional is our feeling centers. And we've kind of been numbed, you know, and controlled. Feelings have been repressed. And I don't know about you, James, but I've made some of my best shit when I'm like heartbroken or mad or angry or in my highest frequency of joy even. And that has been just such a tool to give myself permission to feel all of my feelings. And that's what makes great art. It's intended to evoke emotion. And you have been able to do that so effectively on Instagram, frankly, and you've translated it into this book. And I've read your book and I've spent time with it. It is an experience. It's not just a book. It's an experience. So I want my audience to go read it, and I want you to get them excited to go buy it. Can you kind of walk me through your process and how you constructed it? Like, I think a book is probably one of the biggest creative endeavors one can make. And you've really taken words and images and pulled them through in a very concrete but incredibly exploratory, fluid way. And I would love for you to kind of paint the picture of what they can expect, and honestly, your process and as a writer and how you came up with this.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the book is, I mean, I can't wait for people to see it because it's a visual experience. You know, my creative background is like, I'm a writer primarily. Like that's my zone. But I've also been a designer and an artist. You know, I went to design school and studied graphic design. I used to work professionally as a graphic designer. So this book really gave me opportunity to do both. So it's full of chapters that explain, that really give you deep insights into the creative process, as well as highlighting a lot of artists and their stories to you know, help explain how creativity really works. But I know so many people are visual learners as well. So there's a lot of illustrations and graphics and word art and visual poems that bring the lessons to life in a visual way. So it's the kind of book that you can read it front to back, and there is a linear flow to it, but it's also the kind of book that you can just flip around and, you know, almost use as a coffee table book and flip through it and find some inspiration in a random chapter or with a random illustration. And the crux of the book and the first idea that really came through is this idea of the yin and the yang of creativity. And this came through, honestly, so how my career in advertising ended was, I was the head of this branding department in this New York City agency, and we were actually acquired by this big technology firm, and the branding department was dissolved. They didn't need branding anymore. So I was laid off. The whole team was laid off. And here I was, I had had this job for 8 years, was very secure with it. And when I was let go, I didn't want to go back into another agency. I just didn't resonate, didn't feel right. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. And honestly, this is the initial seed of the book. I just sat down to meditate, and I just posed a question to the universe, is like, what do you want me to do next? Like, what do you really want me to do next? Like, I'm going to see this as an opportunity, not as a setback, right? So I lost my job, but this is creating space for what's meant to come through next. So just maybe the next couple days, I was just sitting with that question, what am I meant to do next? And I was just getting these downloads about creativity and how it really works, and how, on one hand, it's very spiritual, because like I said, you things like, where does intuition come from?
Yes.
Like when you use your imagination, how does that work? What are you actually tuning into? How are we able, that's a sixth sense, to be able to imagine something in our minds, right? And then, so I feel like so much of creativity is spiritual, but then also there's this question about craft and how to actually make things. Yeah. And I was like, oh wow, these are really, half of creativity is about inputs. Like what are we receiving? You know, what are we connected with? You know, what kind of intention are we tapped into? What kind of purpose do we have? This is all creative yin. It's about being, right? But then at a certain point, it's about action. At a certain point, once the idea is there and it's clear, then it's about, how do you bring it to life with your own authentic expression? So really the first half of the book is creative yin. And there's all these chapters that will explore how to cultivate your own creative yin. This is things like setting an intention, cultivating your intuition, learning how to work with your imagination, how to use your emotions in the creative process. And then creative yang is really about how to bring your ideas to life, how to develop your own unique style, how to experiment with your own technique, whether you're a writer, a painter, a singer, a teacher, a coach, entrepreneur, whatever it is, how to launch your ideas, how to launch your work and bring them public, and then even how to make money as a creative. And then even the last chapter is called The New Renaissance. It's about how to spark social change through creative thinking. So really, it's kind of a true blueprint from beginning to end, all the way from the, you know, cultivating the soil of your intuition to, it's kind of like farming. It's like, at first you need to cultivate the soil, you need to plant the seeds, you need to water the soil, you need to get sunlight. This is all yin. But then at a certain point, if you're a farmer, you need to harvest the crops. You need to prepare them. You need to cook them. And then you serve them. So it's really the full spectrum of conscious creativity. So I think anyone who reads this book can walk away truly empowered to actualize their own inner artist in whatever form that takes.
Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for gifting it to the world. Truly.
Oh, thank you.
You are such a gift. And my question for you, as you're talking, you know, we've chatted in the past, and I know your background is a branding, marketing, creative guy in big agencies, and we've related over that. And then you're clearly a spiritual teacher, you know, you're a channel and you vibrate in the quantum realm as I do. You're also, you know, a actual creative and a paid professional in the world of artistry. You're also this wicked killer Instagram guru. Like I really want to talk about that for a second. I want to click into that because I want you to share kind of what happened during COVID, because people are going to like listen to this. They're going to want to read the book, but you are such a walking testament of how your life can change when you channel your art and you connect to your truth and you allow yourself to play out loud. And so much of your business, your life kind of exploded and took on so much momentum once you launched Words Are Vibrations. It's how I found you. And can you kind of back us into that journey? Because I think a lot of people will want to hear about that growth and the learnings that you've had from building that community.
Sure. Well, you know, it starts when I was young. I started writing poetry, and I wrote hundreds of poetry. I wrote hundreds of poems before I, you know, turned 20.
Wow.
So I had this really strong background as a poet. But when you're working in corporate America and you're, you know, have a day job and you're working 50 hours a week and you're in New York City and it's like work hard, play hard, you don't have a lot of time to write poetry.
Right. Especially if you're a post-apocalyptic psychedelic meme poet, which you became, as I've heard you call yourself. But yes, you don't have time to do that when you're working in New York.
No, because your mind is just, you know, your mind is being, I mean, so much of what we see in today's world, especially in corporate America, is that there's these limitations around our consciousness. Even like the drugs that are like okay to take, like alcohol and caffeine, they're these like really narrowing, focusing, low vibrational kind of, they kind of box your consciousness in.
They do.
And being an artist truly is opening up the doors of your consciousness to expand them into a wider perspective, which is kind of what being a spiritual person is as well. So there's, for me, these are directly connected, is like this idea of opening up your consciousness. This is what people who are spiritual want to do, but this is also what artists do. They have a wider consciousness. So again, spirituality, creativity, I think these are intimately connected. But again, I had stopped writing poetry, and it was during COVID. It was more than just COVID. I felt like I was at a dead end professionally. So I just reached this moment professionally, personally, that just felt like a dead end. I'm sure many people can relate to this. It's like, I just stopped advancing in my career. I felt like I was banging my head against a brick wall. The more I forced it, the more hard it was for me to break through. So I just felt like I was at this place where whatever I tried, it just wasn't working. And I was just feeling so much internal frustration. And I felt so helpless. And I just felt like I was not where I was supposed to be anymore. And it finally reached the point where I truly just had to surrender to spirit, like truly surrender, just be like, this is out of my hands. Like, and I remember one morning I woke up and I felt so sad in my body and I just felt so helpless and I had no choice but to surrender and just, and I think when you surrender, what happens is there's like a moment of grace that happens when you stop forcing it and you just decide to, it's out of your hands. It's out of my control. And I'm going to trust this for whatever reason. And I'm just going to surrender. And when I did that, poetry started coming through me again. So it was like in this moment of grace, in this moment of surrender, in a way it was this rock bottom, but it took that moment for me to rediscover this inner poet, this inner artist that had been trying to get out. And it just felt so liberating to write a poem. And it just felt like, you know, like, I think it's liberating in a physical sense. Like, you know, like you think if you're ever like in a sauna or something, or you just get a really good sweat, yeah. It just, and I think creativity does that for us. And I think that's why creativity is healing. It's the same thing as like a sauna where you can, you're sweating out toxins, but creativity is a way to release emotional toxins. You know, it's a purge. It's a release. So for me, it broke me down, but in doing so, it allowed me to find my new voice. So it began with poetry. And then it was around the same time that I started playing around with memes, because memes have been around for a while. Like, you know, internet memes have been going on since the 90s. Like there used to be like, I don't know if you remember like the dancing baby meme. It's just like this gif of this dancing baby. Yep. And in the 90s, it was like all the rage. Like people just loved this dancing baby. People thought it was the funniest thing. and memes have taken a lot of form on the internet. There's been like lolcats and these, it's just usually some funny image with a funny caption. And, you know, historically speaking, there wasn't a lot of meaning or insight in these memes. They were just kind of, you know, just little internet jokes. So I just got the idea of what if I played around with memes, but I applied my same thinking as a poet or as a philosopher or as a spiritual thinker. And I applied this mentality towards making memes. And for me, that was just like a magic formula. Because again, I have the design background, but I've got the writing background. And I just was able to hit this vein of the collective at the time. Cause I feel like memes are like their own language, and you can say things with memes that you can't necessarily say with regular speech. Like if you say, I could get up on a pulpit and make a speech, or I could write a long boring essay on something. And then people are, if they're predisposed to agree with it, they're going to agree. If they're not, they're going to be turned off. But memes had a way of cutting through the clutter. Or you could like cut directly to, it's a more direct form of communication. And I just saw my memes getting shared and shared and shared.
I was one of them.
Yeah, thank you. that just really, you know, even though I was already a published author at that time, I quickly became known for my memes. So that was a big breakthrough for me, both creatively and professionally. And it turns out that memes have a much more meaning than we give them credit for, because while I began making memes, I learned that the origin of the word meme actually comes from, it was coined in 1976 by the evolutionary biologist, Richard Dawkins. And he was making a comparison to how genes work. So if you look at a gene in a biological system, a gene is the smallest unit of biology, and genes replicate and spread. And there's sometimes like a gene mutation. And if it's an advantageous gene mutation, that will spread. And eventually that will be the dominant gene in a system. And this is how evolution works, is through the mutation and spreading of genes. Okay. Memes are genes in the world of culture and ideas. So a meme has been described as the smallest unit of an idea. And we all spread memes every day in everything that we do. And like propaganda is a form of a meme, sure, like where you're trying to spread a certain idea. So there's all these memes that are spreading throughout the world. And it's kind of like these ideas that go viral in the culture.
Totally.
So goes back to the spiritual hustle. It's like, well, what are the memes that we're planting? What are the memes that we're spreading? And for me, that's literally making internet memes with a certain message that can spread on the internet. But in a larger sense, it's about what are the ideas that we are carriers for and that we are spreading with our thoughts, our actions, our words, our social media content. We're all spreading one meme or another. So I learned to be very intentional about the memes that I spread in my own life. And that includes my social media content.
And thank you for that explanation. I mean, and you've done it with so much like depth, but so much joy at the same time. And this community that you have built around it is just because we feel it, that there's an empathetic come from that you have, that you understand how hard the human experience is. And like, I think one of my favorite memes you ever shared, I think I reposted it on my grid and it got so much engagement. I'm like, this is all James McCray. It was the Amazon review of Earth. It was like 3 out of 5 stars. The people weren't that nice. The tacos were good. I don't think I'll come back. Like, yeah. I was like so seen in that, that meme, you know, and there's a real testament to the following you've grown, which is massive. I mean, it's massive and it's fast. And it's such a walking testament of what's possible, whether it's an Instagram account, whether it's a piece of art, whether it's a book, whether it's a creative endeavor, that the possibilities that come from when you step into that surrendering, like you said.
Absolutely. Thank you. There's also, you know, there's just something about being honest as well.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, a lot of spiritually minded people tend to sometimes be overly into like love and light.
Yep.
Which is great. And we all want love and light. And obviously if people are spreading love and light, we need more of that. Nothing wrong with that. But there's also just in memes, and like you said, like reviewing Earth and giving it like a bad review. Like there's something honest about that where it's like, sometimes it sucks. Like sometimes this isn't a fun experience. And there's a lot about being human that isn't fun and isn't love and light. So giving myself space to be authentic about that. And if I'm feeling a little nihilistic, you know, it's okay to share that. You know, I think art is a safe place for all emotions. You know, there are really sad songs that are beautiful and that we love. And, you know, so many of us like sad songs more than happy songs, right? So listening to a sad song, it's not about love and light. It's about presenting an authentic human experience.
Yeah.
And there's something that resonates with that. So I think art is a safe place to share the full spectrum of emotions. From the nihilistic to the sad, you know, to the joyful and everything in between.
The art of you.
Exactly. The full spectrum.
Yeah. The art of you. I'm just excited that you've gifted the world this book that is basically you and your beautiful brand and messages, you know, in this full spectrum of a book. I mean, it really, for those that are following you, I know they're going to freak out about it. And those that haven't followed you yet, and they will after my show, they're going to be so grateful that this has come to life in this book. I have one last question for you, just out of my own curiosity, because I want to, you know, ask you some of my final questions, but you're a light worker. Like the second I connected with you, even virtually, I'm like, this is a very awake and remembered soul. And how have you always been spiritual? Were you raised spiritually? You clearly have gifts and you're connected. And so how did that come about?
Yeah, well, I grew up in, like most people that grew up in, we're both from the Midwest, right? Midwest, United States, right? You're from Chicago. Yep. I'm from Minnesota.
Okay.
So like most people that grow up in America, especially in the Midwest, I grew up as in the Christian tradition. And my parents were fairly serious about Christianity when I was little. So I grew up in church every week, Sunday school, all of that. And that didn't stick with me, but it did give me from a very early age this feeling of being rooted in my spirituality and feeling like I had like God's phone number. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like I had I had a personal relationship with God. Now, my definition of God has changed greatly since then. You know, I don't subscribe to any particular religion. I'm no longer consider myself to be a Christian, but I do think there was some things that were embedded in me from a young age. And I did have like an atheist phase that where I'm like, oh, this is all bullshit. And I'm, you know, I don't believe any of this. And I think that's okay sometimes to have like, again, a little bit of a nihilism as a phase. Because sometimes you need to reject the past in order to clean the slate so you can have a more fulfilling relationship with the thing, right? Sure. So that's kind of what I did. I kind of rejected the idea of a Christian God. And I remember being in church being like, all right, like I totally buy the idea of a God, a creator, a benevolent force, you know, creative source energy, whatever you want to call it. But whatever that God is, I don't think it is restricted to live inside the four walls of this church. So I sort of left the Christian church and just kind of looked for my own version of God in the church of life, so to speak, you know, and just exploring the world and studying various traditions, practicing Kundalini yoga, learning meditation, studying Buddhism. So I've always been rooted in the idea of there being some life force that we are all part of. And I just have a much more looser interpretation than I used to. Yeah.
We're the same soul on so many levels. I first want to, before I ask you my final question, and then we're going to go send people to go buy the book. I'm going to give you a quick rapid fire questions. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you just inspired one of them, actually. So I might use this moving forward, James, in all my interviews. Mm-hmm. So aside from your own, do you have a favorite spiritual book?
The Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu.
Do you have... Oh, go ahead. Say more.
Oh, I was just going to say this is an ancient... It's a text that actually originated from Chinese shamanism. It's very old. And it's kind of like the precursor to Eastern philosophy. So it predates Buddhism, it predates Zen, but it's kind of the oldest book in this tradition. And it's very poetically written. So I found myself going back to it throughout my life. So the Tao Te Ching is definitely would be my favorite.
I've heard of it. I need to read it. We'll link it in the show notes. As we'll put your book first. I'll buy it. Do you have I love the way you just spoke about the omnipresence of spirit, but do you have a spirit guide or an angel or an archetype or deity that you work with?
Interesting question. Not really. What I do is sort of, I believe in this idea of creative lineage because I do truly believe that, you know, creativity and art can be a spiritual practice and a spiritual path. So my creative mentors are in many ways my quote gurus. So I tend to be attracted towards writers and many of them who are, you know, have been dead for a long time, who had a similar spirit to their work, where they were writing, they weren't necessarily spiritual teachers or positioned as such, but they use their artwork to really shine light on the human condition in a way that is, for me, up there with scripture. It's almost like sexual. I think some poetry and some writers can be described as secular scripture. So for me, that is writers like Walt Whitman and Allen Ginsberg. And even in terms of living people, even Bob Dylan is part of that lineage. So I do have these kind of mentors that I consider myself to be part of their creative lineage. And what's great about people like this is you can interact with them by reading their work. Or even what I love to do is read books of interviews with some of my favorite mentors and influences. So I read interviews with them. I'll even on YouTube, I'll search for interviews with them. So it's almost like you can, you know, sit
with them,
next to them and learn from them through books, through YouTube. So for me, that's equivalent to what a spiritual practice might be for someone else.
I love it. I love it. That's very inspirational and opens up the aperture of what a spirit guide
totally
can be.
Totally.
Do you believe in aliens, yes or no?
Oh, I mean, certainly in some capacity. I have questions about the universe.
Same. There's many questions to be asked.
So for example, one unorthodox belief that I entertain is that perhaps the world is not made of space as much as we believe it is, and it's more of like a dimension. So I'm not sure I believe that like aliens are traveling across space from millions of miles away. I'm open to it. I think it's also possible that aliens can shift in and out of dimensions. So it's more of like, it's based on dimensions, not necessarily space travel. That's one theory that I have.
I completely agree.
I also think it's fully possible that there are quote unquote aliens that are living among us, who are just a little bit, whatever that means. I don't know all the details, obviously, but these are just some senses that I have. So I do believe in aliens loosely, but I don't have a clear idea on how it all works and where they come from.
It's a whole other podcast. We can talk about that for hours. I've lots of beliefs and thoughts, and we're very aligned, very aligned. So my last formal question for you is, what does it mean to be a co-creator of the new earth to you?
That's a great question. Well, the earth is whatever we make it, period. I mean, the earth is the collective result of what we all are bringing to the table. So I love that you use the word co-creator, because we're already co-creators of the earth. You know, even you said new earth, but we're all co-creators of the old earth too, because we're all somewhat responsible for what it is, because we all, obviously we don't all have the same amount of power, but we all do have power. So what I believe in doing is being conscious of your own sphere of influence, because we all have a sphere of influence. You know, I think that there's a lot of, you know, social media activism, one way of putting it, where people want to fight to change things that are across the world that they have no control over. And while I do respect and appreciate the care that goes into that, I think it can sometimes be misguided energy, because I think we all have a sphere of influence around us, some bigger than others. It's not the size that matters. We can impact the people in our lives, the people that follow us on social media, our friends, our family, you know, the work that we create, the newsletters that we put out, whatever it might be. I believe in like tending to your own garden.
Yes.
You know, and if we all just tend to our own garden and take care of the people within our sphere of influence, and we all do that, then what a beautiful reality we can all co-create together.
Thank you for that. I really hope that my audience took that in. Truly. I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
I really do. So James, tell us where we can go buy the book. How do we get involved in all things you? Shout out all the places. Where do you want people to buy the book from?
Wherever they want. We can put a link in the show notes. And you know, if you go to the link in my Instagram, there's all these stores you can buy it from. So you can buy it from wherever you want. And I'm actually, if you order the book, I have a whole bunch of goodies that you can get as bonuses, including I'm doing an event series with some of my favorite artists and writers, and other things related to the book. I'm offering that all for free with a purchase. So go to the link in my Instagram bio, and you can go to my website and you just enter your order number, and you can get a bunch of extra bonus materials as well, along with the book. So yeah, it's called The Art of You, The Essential Guidebook to Reclaiming Your Creativity.
Perfect. I'm so excited for you. Excited for you and the world, because you know, you've written a few, but your platform is bigger now, and you have this massive following, and people love words or vibrations, and I just can't wait to see what happens. And I am cheering you on and just your biggest fan. And thank you. Like, you are codes, my friend. You just speak codes. Mm. You are. And so thank you for blessing me with your codes on this episode of The Spiritual Hustler, which you are definitely a fellow of mine. And thank you for being here today with me.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been great to get to know you over the past year, and thanks for all your support, and I'm cheering you on in all your new endeavors as well.